We have visual aids. Just going to move this one out. Whoops. Yeah, out of the way. Thank you. That's lovely. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Okay, so who likes to receive gifts? Now, opening gifts is always a lot of fun, isn't it? Christmas, birthdays, often the little ones are the best. Steve? Just saying.
Where did you get it from?
Oh, it probably was you. Okay. You know, at Christmas, we build a pile of presents around the tree, and then we have got to wait until that moment when we can open them up. Some of us do it slowly, revealing things carefully and appreciating everything that's given to us. And others rip them apart like our grandchildren until you've got a pile of toys and so on right in the middle. But you know where I'm going with this? They have to be opened to experience the value of what someone has given. And okay, I know that sometimes we open the thing that we thought, oh, didn't really want that. But the giver of the gifts that we're going to be thinking about today knows exactly what gift to give and why he's giving it, or them, to each one of us. So let's open up our theme and see what's inside. First of all, we've got G. There we go, G. So G stands for our God given gifts. And our starting point always has to be our relationship with the giver. You know, when it comes to knowing his will, discovering how we can serve him, we need to focus on our relationship with him. And out of that, we will be able to hear his voice and follow where he leads. We don't need a detailed plan because Jesus, by his Spirit, is with us on the journey. You know, Jesus described himself as the way, didn't he? Well, he is the roadmap for our journey, and he's with us together using our gifts. Whatever we do, whether it's in the workplace or at home or in this kind of context, using our gifts is an act of worship. And they are meant to honour God. In fact, the Hebrew word for work and worship are the same, avodah, I think that's how you say it. This is about serving God with joy. Now, God has designed each one of us for the benefit of the kingdom and his glory. Max Lucado puts it this way: God endows us with gifts so that we can make him known. When you magnify your maker with your strengths, when your contribution enriches God's reputation, your days grow suddenly sweet. We exist to exhibit God, to display his glory. I love that quote. I think that feels so good. Now, the thing is, it's quite amazing that God has actually chosen us to reveal his glory, especially when we know what we can get up to and what we're like. We may wonder why on earth. But however, God blesses and entrusts each one of us with an influence, with talents, with resources, and with spiritual gifts to glorify him and build his kingdom. Remembering this, not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. That's why we always have to start with him. And also in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. We've got a wonderful opportunity to exhibit God with our uniqueness, because you are the only you there is. I am the only me there is. And we have to remember this, for God created us. He knit us together. We can praise him because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that you are wonderful? Well, you are, because his works are wonderful, and we know that. That's Psalm 139. So G is for our God-given gifts. Let's have a look at the next one. There we go. I is for identify and invest in. We need to identify what our gifts are. I wonder if you've ever said or heard somebody say, you can be anything you want to be. Is that true? Not sure about that. Max Lucado says this, you cannot be anything you want to be, but you can be everything God wants you to be. I might slightly change in that and say, you may not be anything you want to be, because some of you will have achieved exactly what you wanted to be. But God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that verse because it feels like it's a process, that he's working in us, and God is always working. And we have the power to do what pleases him. The Message puts it this way, be energetic in your life of salvation. Sarah did talk about the fact that some of the times our energy just goes this morning. Reverent and sensitive before God, that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. I wonder, what do you enjoy doing? Some of you have already heard me say this, but as a child, I absolutely loved pretending to teach my toys. I did only have one doll and one teddy. Yeah, thank you. Back in those days, that's pretty much all you had, wasn't it? Yeah. But I used to teach them, and I only ever spent my pocket money on pens and pencils and paper. And then that's what I wanted to do. It's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a teacher, and I became a primary school teacher, and I absolutely loved that job, every 25 years of it. It was amazing. And then it changed because I did the counselling course, and I ended up teaching on it, which was a big surprise to me. And then eventually teaching in the women's ministry at CWR or Waverley College, and writing in their publications. I didn't know that was ahead of me, but God did. He lined it all up and I stepped in. And that's what we can do. God lines things up for us. Have a look at this. I don't know how, I hope that's easy. The pink bit. No, the green bit. Oh, I don't know, I'm colourblind. Anyway, the bit on this, on the left says my everyday life. The bit on the right says my strengths. The bit underneath says God's glory. When we take our everyday life and we use the gifts and the talents God has given us and glorify him with them, we find that bit in the middle is our sweet spot. We need to use our uniqueness. That's what we do. We need to make a big deal out of God. That's why we do it. And we do it every day of our lives. And that's where we do it. Wherever we find ourselves, this is where we do it. God is in the habit of matching our unique abilities to the distinctive assignments he's given us. He created us, so he knows what makes us tick and how best to use those abilities, which is why it's very wise to include him in that process. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, two of the servants who were given some talents to use, used them and made more. The third one hid his talent, and that was it. Hiding our gifts is not operating, and not operating them actually robs the kingdom of something God given. I'm going to say that again. Hiding our gifts, not operating in them, robs the kingdom of God of something God given. And often there can be a couple of reasons for this. One is we may not be confident. Self-confidence is one of those things that can motivate us, and it has a direct impact on whether or not we reach our God-given potential. You know, we might find ourselves battling with our own fears or doubts, insecurities. Again, something that Sarah said earlier on, questioning if we've got what it takes. It's a bit of a roadblock. It can stop us from fulfilling our potential. And another roadblock is comparison. We may look at what others can do and wish we had their ability and gifting. And in the parable, in that same chapter, in chapter 25 of Matthew, there's a parable of the 10 virgins. Now, five of these virgins didn't take anything extra with them. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And five of the virgins took extra oil. But it was only the five that had the extra oil that went in with the bridegroom, because the others' lamps went out. Now, this is about investing in those gifts and abilities. We need to, actually Linda said about spending hours doing it. That's exactly what I do. It's about investing in our gift, bringing that extra bit in. I found that spending time in preparation is personally valuable and also gives me extra confidence, whether it's teaching Sunday school, which I did for about 40 years, ladies' groups, this kind of context. This is about investing in the gifts we're given. There's a book written by John Maxwell called Talent is Never Enough. You may be good at something, but you've got to hone it, make it even better. God gives us the gifts that he knows we can handle. What you and I are made for brings us joy as well as him glory. So let's have a look at some of those. So here we go. Here's a list. These are the list of some of the gifts. Now, last week, Richard Coles was speaking about a lot of the leadership gifts. We're going to home in some of the more practical gifts today. Think about administration. That's an amazing gift. If there was a gift I wish I had, it was this one, and I haven't. So that's why I need people like Sarah in my life. This is the ability to help towards the successful completion of God-given goals. You need skills in planning, organisation, and supervision. That you want a person like that on your team. You've also got exhortation there. Exhortation, offering encouragement, comfort, and support to help someone be all that God wants them to be. Growing up in the church circles, you may well hear people say things like, oh, don't give me praise because otherwise I'll have already received my reward and I won't get it in heaven. Actually, what we need to do is encourage people, because in doing that, we may move them towards their God-given purpose without realizing that's what we're doing. Say, you're really good at that. Well done. Brilliant. We need people of faith. With this gift, such great confidence in the power and promises of God. People who are generous in giving with their resources. People who are gifted with helps, that one in the middle there. Someone with this gift is able to support or assist people so that they may be free to minister to others. Just a little aside here. This morning when I was getting ready, my lovely friend, Jane, said, would you like a cup of tea? And I said, oh yeah, that would be lovely. I didn't have the time to go and do it, but she saw what I needed. You were operating in the gift of helps this morning, so thank you. Hospitality, my friend over there, natural ability to make people feel welcome, and mercy. Whenever I've taken a test, this is the one at the bottom of my list, and I don't know why, because I don't really think I'm bad at being merciful, but anyway, this is a person with great sensitivity for those who are suffering. They often offer compassion and encouragement to help someone in need. So, many, many gifts that many of us can operate in. They enable us not only to bless people, but actually to grow towards maturity and the knowledge of Jesus. Let's not be preoccupied with the gifter, though. Let's always honour the giver. F is for finding ways to serve. Now again, Richard Coles was speaking about finding ways to serve, and I think Sammy in his letter to us said that we were going to be doing him out of a job if we did all the things that he was calling us to do. But there are so many practical things that we can do. You know, when Jesus stepped into his ministry, this is what he said: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news." This is what he was supposed to do to the poor: proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for people who weren't seeing properly, either physically or rationally, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This was his mandate, and he used many ways to work it out. Why and how did Jesus do it? Why did he do it? Some of the things that we've already heard this morning: to reveal God's love for his children, to demonstrate what the kingdom of God was like, which you shared this morning, and to redeem God's people. How did he do it? He spent time with the Father. There's the key right there, right at the top of the list. He said, "I'd never do anything that I don't see the Father doing." He only did what he saw God doing. And he lived on purpose by teaching, healing, bringing hope, taking opportunities when they came along. And I also put this one: spent time with his friends. And the reason I put that one in there is that he was not a lone ranger. He didn't just go off and do things on his own. He worked with people. We have been set in community. And when we serve alongside others and with others. We need other people in our lives. And he used his gift. How can we serve? There are so many things that we can do, even on a Sunday morning, as well as in the week. Here are some things. There are so many more. These are not, I'm not talking about the leadership gifts that we heard last week, but some of the more practical ones: welcoming, doing refreshments. Thank you, girls, for doing the refreshments this morning. Excellent. Helping tidy up. Moving chairs, preparing communion, first Sunday lunch provision, said it before you die, prayer in all of these things, children's clubs, cleaning, we had requests for cleaning, visiting people, hosting house groups, making meals, giving financially. Each of these areas actually line up with spiritual gifts that bless the church, build God's kingdom, and bring joy as we serve. Okay. Tea. Anybody guess what tea is for? What might you think tea might be for? Thanks. Tea? Thanks. Thankfulness, yep.
Timing.
You looked at my notes, didn't you? I thought somebody might say trust. Any other thoughts? Well, okay, then we'll go with that. T is for time out, actually. One of the things as godly men and women we can do is we've got to think that we've got to keep on keeping on. Say yes to whatever you're asked to do. Definitely not be lazy. We hear the verse, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Well, if you look at the beginning of the chapter that verse comes from, it's talking about behavior, sinning. In other words, never give up being good and righteous. It doesn't say never give up working yourself into the ground. We don't have to keep on regardless. If we look at the beginning, I've already said that. Our mandate is to become like Jesus in our character and attitude, not work ourselves into the ground and become stressed out. And yes, there may be times when we experience tiredness and have to sacrifice to do the things that we do to serve. But rest is important as we serve. There is joy in serving, and there's joy in resting. There's joy in reflecting on what we see God doing in and through us. Remember, he's always at work. Look to see what God is doing and join in with that. But may we always take moments to enjoy what it is we see God doing. Pause on purpose. Jesus did that. He took time out. He also said yes to the right things because he'd said no to what might seem good, but actually would have taken time in order for him to do the right things. And when we know what we're called to, it's so much easier to discern what we can get involved in and therefore experience what God experienced when he created the world. He wanted a rest. On the seventh day, he rested and he blessed it. The last one, S, is for serving God and his people. Wherever and whatever our gifts or gifts are, God has placed us within community to use them. For we are God's masterpiece. This is a lovely one from Ephesians 2, verse 10. This is from the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. He knows what we're good at. He wants to release us into those things. In the same way, Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know, in the verses we heard earlier, this is all about character. So we're lining these things up. Our personality, our giftings, who we are, and it builds character. Let's just have a look at some of those character things that happen when we really move in the purposes and the power of God. Grace. Faith. We can be encouraging. We can be generous, diligent, cheerful, sincere, righteous, that's clinging to what is good. We can be devoted, honoring, have spiritual fervor. That's a passion for what God has called us to do. Serving the Lord. We need to be faithful, faithful stewards of what he's given us. And it's God's strength in us that provides all things so that we can praise God through Jesus. What a joy it is to serve God. You know, we've been seeing that God didn't give us these gifts for us personally. He gave us these gifts for him. Our gifts are given to us by God in order to serve those around us. And we need to see how God has blessed each one of us. And then we begin to trust him with our giftings and value them, no matter how they compare to the gifts or talents of others. You know, God calls us to use our gifts, talents, and influence. You don't know sometimes what kind of an influence you have, just the things that you say and do, even in the queue at the supermarket. Very important place to be righteous, I think. Fight the lie that God can't use you for his kingdom. Fight the lie that you're not good enough. Become aware of what you love to do and what brings you joy. In fact, in a sense, take an inventory of your life. Prayerfully consider all the things God has given for you to steward and I to steward. Our gifts, talents, influence, and resources. You are meant to serve him and others with these. Let's just pray.